Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. A guide for making and keeping resolutions. But Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And the people said, "You may be seated." Generally, around this time of year, we very foolishly, some of us, begin to make all kinds of resolutions. Approaching New Year, we get the thought we'll do things differently. We call them New Year's resolutions or whatever you might want to call them. I've discovered through the years, even in my own life, that those New Year's resolutions, they cover a plethora of subjects. If I would have lost all the weight that I pledged at the beginning of a new year to lose, I would not be able to stand here before you today because I'd be like in a negative 600. Those resolutions sometimes are made and many times are not kept. They involve millions and millions and millions of pounds around the globe. And a lot of times, I was talking to a brother a few minutes ago about dipping snuff. Now, I'm going to get off on that right away. I dipped it a long time. And I remember how hard it was to kick that habit. Nicotine is tough. And now I've given you an excuse, you ought to quit. But I remember that fight I had and quitting that habit. And I know that probably some people here today are having resolved in your heart, I'm going to quit a particular habit. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to stop doing this and start doing this. A lot of people set aside some time in their life and say they resolve to quit something or start something. I can't help myself. I got to tell the story once again. At a revival down at the old country church, there was an evangelist who gave an invitation. You remember the story? He gave an invitation for people to come to the altar and quit something. And there were all kinds of things left that night on the altar. One man came and brought a can of snuff, the old Garrett kind, sucked into your lungs and left it. Another guy came and he left one of those little pocket flasks of whiskey, half full, left it on the altar. There were all kinds of Camel unfiltered cigarettes and Lucky Strikes and all those kind of things back in that day. And then, to the shock and dismay of the church, there was a dear old saint, a woman, who came down to the preacher, and of course, all eyes were on her. They wanted to know, what in the world is she doing? Because they all thought she was so good. She went to the preacher, and she said, "I am quitting." He said, "Sister, are you quitting church? What do you mean you're quitting?" She said, "Well, I ain't been doing nothing, and I'm going to quit." That may be a resolution that a lot of folks need to make, especially when it comes to the church. Because at this time of year, sometimes people make spiritual resolutions as well. And sometimes that resolution ought to be, I'm going to quit doing nothing and start doing something and involve myself in serving the Lord. I think a resolution we might consider, if the shoe fits, is to do something different with your spiritual life in this new year. So I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to make spiritual resolutions. And also, I want to share with you this morning, just from my heart, kind of a different sermon for me, but I want to share with you a picture of this resolve. I want to share with you the idea of making and keeping those resolutions, especially when it comes to spiritual matters, especially those matters at stake in our soul. A lot of people will say at this time of year, and I've already had it, it's been said to me this morning. I'm not going to look at you, because if I look at you, they'll know it's you. I've already had somebody come to me and say, I've resolved this year to be in church every Sunday, Lord willing. I agree with that 100%. I resolve to be here every Sunday the Lord will allow me to be in this pulpit preaching. I desire to be, this is part of who I am. I enjoy doing that. I have people who have already come to me and said, I resolve to be in church more. I had one man tell me just the other day, he said, you know what I'm doing for the new year? He said, I have resolved in my heart to read the Bible through from Genesis to Revelation in the coming year. I've done that now several years going, and usually I finish Revelation sometime, usually in like late January. And then I started my New Year's resolution to read it again. And what I've discovered every time I read through the Bible and resolve to do so, if I keep that resolution, I'm amazed at what God does in my life through the Word. And I read those stories I've read time and time and time again, yet God still uses them to grow me. So I challenge you to make those spiritual resolutions, whether it's to read the Bible, whether it's to pray, whether it's to go to a small group, whether it's to be involved in our VIP group. I talked about that a few moments ago. Do you know that everywhere I go and visit with people who visit the church, they say to me, I'm amazed at the number of people who spoke to me when I got to Northside. That's a rarity, I suppose, in churches nowadays. People don't speak to one another. That's why we still get up and shake hands and smile and show ourselves friendly during that visitation time. But that VIP team is important. Maybe you resolve to be a part of that coming up on January 11th. You can be a part of that. You can get plugged in. We'd like you to do that. The list goes on and on and on about things you might want to do spiritually. But what I want to do this morning with you is I want to give you this list, if you will. I want to use Daniel, the scripture I read to you, as my foundation. And I want to give you a list of things you can do that will help you in making those resolutions and at the same time keeping those resolutions. I want to hinge everything I want to say to you off of Daniel chapter 1, verse 18. And his story, which we don't have time to tell. Most of y'all know the story of Daniel. All right, I'm going to tell it if you don't tell me you do. Most of you know the story, Daniel. So I'm going to fill you in on bits and pieces as I go along this morning. I want to show you four things that stand out to me when I read the scriptures that say to me how important it is that we make these resolutions and how to make them. First thing I want you to see is this. The scripture says that I read to you Daniel 1:18, but Daniel purposed. First, a resolution to be made and kept. It's got to be founded in your heart. It can't just be a skin-deep thing. You can't just decide because you get here to church and it feels all warm and fuzzy that you're going to do this next Sunday as well. If it's not down deep inside your heart, chances are good you won't. Daniel said, in the face of opposition, in the face of being forced into something he had vowed that he would not do, the Bible tells us that he purposed in his heart. It's important if you're going to make a resolution, especially in a spiritual matter, that that be focused and be founded down deep inside your heart. The word says that Daniel purposed in his heart. He resolved. He came from his own going faith. Now listen closely. His faith was not a flash in the pan kind of faith. Daniel had a faith that was regular. It wasn't a faith that came about because of sudden conflict in his life. Do you know how many times I see that in the course of any given year? How many times I see it in the course of any given week? Sometimes how many times I see it in a single day where all of a sudden there's a crisis that comes in our life, no matter what that crisis might be. You get in a crisis situation and the very first thing you want to do is increase your faith. If it's purposed in your heart to start with, if your faith is deep-seated down in your soul, if you have a steady relationship with the Lord, then it's not a flash in the pan. It's something that you draw from because it's there in your life. It's not a sudden conflict that brings you to resolve. It's a resolution in your heart that is there always that you'll be with the Lord, you'll walk with the Lord long before the king's food was ever set before Daniel. See, the problem was that Daniel was not going to eat the food they offered him. And the king had called together Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, and their names were something else, but he changed them, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he called them before him, and he called all the people before him, so we're going to eat this particular way, and he told the chief of the eunuchs, he said, I want you to get me some of the best-looking guys. I want you to get me some of the strongest-looking men. I want to train them and let them serve me in my palace. So it involved eating a certain diet. And Daniel resolved in his heart that he would not do that. He said, I will not. And the Bible says that he purposed in his heart that he would not do that. The word says he purposed that down deep in his soul. He resolved, made a resolution from his own going faith. He knew God. He trusted God. Long before the food was ever placed before him, long before he even had the opportunity to say no to the real groceries, he said, look, I'm not doing it. You see, his choices didn't depend on the situation. If you're in continuous relationship with God, you know what that means? That means you pray regularly. So, oh, preach, you don't know how many times a day I pray. That doesn't mean I go to God every time I need something. Oh, trust me, I took a drive the other day by myself. I went out to Oakhurst and walked through the cemetery and looked at the graves of my ancestors and looked at my brother's grave. And I had that time that I need to have just being myself and I, and just a time to just be alone with God. And trust me, in that time, God began to speak to my heart and God began to show me things. But listen, I'm in a continuous relationship with God. I am proud of a relationship I have with Jesus. Mine is not necessarily exemplary. Yours may be better than mine, but I'm telling you right now, I'm in constant relationship with God. I drove down the road the other day and I had a very frank conversation with God about some matters in my life. You ever had a frank conversation with God? I'm not talking about going to God and saying, oh, Heavenly Father, how much I love thee. Thou. It's going to surprise a lot of people when God don't speak King James. I mean, just talk to God. And if you have that deep-seated relationship with him, you can do that. And anytime you have that continuous relationship, you run into a situation and you resolve, I'm not going to do this or I'm going to do that. If it comes from a deep-seated relationship that you purpose in your heart, down deep in your heart and soul, then it makes all the difference in the world. The more you practice your faith, what's that mean? The more you're in the Word, the more you're on your knees, on your face, more about this later, the more you're in church, the more you practice your faith, it's amazing how easy those spiritual resolutions come and how easy it is to keep them. The more you practice the faith, the stronger you become in it. As you get strong in your faith, it comes closer to the surface of your life. It's not something that's on just the surface, just skin deep. It's something that comes from down deep inside. And the closer to the surface it gets, the more you'll reach out and cling to it every day of your life and not just in crisis. Please take note. Nothing, I'm going to read this like I wrote it down. Nothing will ever stick on the outside until it is birthed from inside. Amen. It's not going to happen. If you just resolve on a fling, if you just resolve on a flare, and you say, this is what I'm going to do, and it doesn't come from your heart, it doesn't come from that deep in your soul, it's not going to matter. But boy, when it's born from inside, and it means something to you, when something comes from your heart, down deep in your soul, it has a greater chance of being kept, it has a greater chance of being followed than some flash in the pan thing. So always, before you resolve, be sure it's in your heart. Be sure it's down deep in your soul. Second, for a resolution to be kept and made, if you don't hear anything else, I want you to hear this, okay? I know I say it a lot of times, but I want you to hear this. Don't fall into the devil's trap. If you resolve something, I'm going to go to church more, read my Bible more, I'm going to pray more, I'm going to be more involved, I'm going to tell, you know, whatever you resolve in a spiritual matter, and I've discovered, even if the resolution is not of a spiritual nature, Satan likes to get in the way. I'm going to say something. I will not respond to any questions about this evening. I may next week. I don't know. When you finally get to a place in your life where you realize it all matters in the spiritual realm, you'll be able to beat some things in your life. Because I want to tell you something. Dear Christian, dear one that is in the Word of God, that is praying, that is regular, and I see you. I see you where you are. There's one lady in here, Cindy, she'll sit everywhere in different places all the time. I don't know if she's here or not. She purposes sitting in other places and gets to meet folks. I know that you're here, and I praise God for you being here. I praise God that you're involved. I praise God that you are resolute in coming and being involved in church, and I see you, and I know that you're here. But listen, it's so important that you understand that because you are here and because you're faithful, Satan wants to set a trap. You know what a trap is? A trap is something that catches you unexpectedly. You ever trapped a hog? You ever trapped a coon? I'm from the country. You've done all those. I trapped a deer not long ago at the end of 270, and I captured him. See, that's what Satan wants to do. So I want you to understand, when you make a resolution, especially a resolution of spiritual nature, you purpose in your heart, you're going to do this, you're going to read the Bible, you're going to practice apologetics, you're going to go out and you're going to defend the faith in your neighborhood, in your job, where you are. You're going to stand for Christ. That's what you resolve, no matter where you are, home, work, play, doesn't matter. When you make that resolution, hear me, get ready. If it comes from down in your heart, if it's not skin deep, if it comes from down deep in your soul, it's founded there, and you say, I resolve in my heart in this year that I'm going to tell more and more people about Christ. I resolve this year I'm going to be involved in the VIP team. I resolve this year I'm going to go to church. I resolve this year whatever spiritual matter it is, or I resolve in my heart to lose 20 pounds. Whatever it is, understand that on a spiritual level, Satan is going to try his very best to throw a skink in the, he'll throw a wrench in the fan if he can. Get ready. Your adversary in life, Satan, is going to throw a trap in your life. It's an old ploy of his. He's going to whisper in your ear, you can't do that. He's going to lead you to see things in your life that you've never seen before and make you think, man, I can't do that. That's his game. That's his trap. That's what he wants to do. You can't do that in the world in which you live, he says. You ever heard that? I had people say to me, you know, I'd like to be more of a witness. I'd like to be more about Christ. But, boy, you don't know where I work. And sometimes people say, well, I work in a prison. I know. I know how it is to work in a prison. I spent some time in Ferguson, or at Ferguson, in and at. That's two different things. I spent some time at the Ferguson unit. I worked out there. I know how it is. So it's an old ploy of Satan to say to you, you can't do that, not where you are, not what you're doing. Listen just real close now. These Hebrew children, we'll call them, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were comfortable in Jerusalem. They were living their life in Jerusalem, going to the temple, worshiping God, doing all the things that good Jewish boys did. And one day, King Nebuchadnezzar comes in and raids the place and carries all those Jewish people away with him to the city, to the area of Babylon. And there they are in a foreign land where God is not worshiped. There they are in a foreign land where there is no temple. There they are in a place where there were all kinds of gods. There were a plethora of gods they could worship. And it was a place where the stature, the importance of a man, really was all that mattered. The conviction of the heart didn't stand for anything, and there was no worship of God Almighty in that place. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar, in his rule, had taken some articles of the temple from Jerusalem and placed them in these pagan gods' places where he was worshiping. There was no standing worship where these guys went. Come from Jerusalem, went to Babylon, there was no standing worship of God, the God of heaven, in Babylon. No other believers to huddle with. So Daniel was in Babylon, far from home, far from the temple of God, far from those who worshiped like he did, living under pagan authority that practiced worshiping and giving to other gods. But nonetheless, even in that situation, listen, even in that situation, Daniel still resolved that he would serve his God. He still resolved in his heart, I'm going to be faithful to the God I know. And friends, that resolute mind that Daniel had, that came from his heart, of a conviction that he knew God and loved God and God loved him, that resolute thought that he had in his heart caused him great difficulty, but it brought him great joy as well. So don't give me that way. You just don't know where I am. I do. You're not nearly like Daniel. You're not nearly like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, a place where you just aren't forbidden to say the name of God. His faith would land him in a place of prominence eventually. I don't have time to tell you the whole story. He was prominent among the king. He stood out. He refused to eat the food, and he was a vegetarian. Bless his heart, he ate vegetables and drank water. And he looked better than anybody in the whole community. And because of that, he was elevated into kingdom work. So altogether, Daniel's faith paid off. Now, it's possible to stand up for God, resolving to serve him and worship him even in a face of a world that does not believe in God. So I don't want to hear, I can't do that, preacher, because you just don't know where I am. You just don't know what I do for a living. You just don't know. Daniel did it in a place where God wasn't even mentioned. Even when he was surrounded by compromise and opportunities to compromise and opportunities to go the other way, still he stood with integrity on the resolution that he made from his heart, he's going to serve God. You know, I think about this all the time. Taking modern transportation is better than walking, isn't it? Aren't you glad you were able to get in a vehicle and come out here this morning? If some of you had to walk from where you came from, I'm just looking around. If some of you had to walk where you came from, you wouldn't be trendy yet. Some of you wouldn't even be beat eyes by now. If you started out walking from your house, if I started out walking from mine, which is just 4 miles down the road, no telling how many times I'd had to stop along the way and get something to drink, maybe even something to eat before I got here. Taking modern transportation is the best way. A lot of times I'll go into Laurie's office during the week and I'll say, Laurie, I'm going to run to the hospital. I'm going to run to here and run to there. And she'll look at me with that same old answer. Why don't you take your truck? It's quicker. It's true. So it's better to take that modern transportation. But listen, in order to stand in the face of compromise, you got to be in a relationship with God through Jesus. Then you proclaim that nothing can come against you. Take the modern transportation, get in and go. Take Jesus, get in and go. See, it's one thing to say, oh, I love the Lord. It's another thing to prove it out in your life. It's one thing to say, I pray, and all you're doing is saying, God, thank you for the beans and bread. It's one thing to say you're a prayer warrior, then you just lay down at night and say, now lay me down to sleep, Lord, I pray my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, Lord, I pray my soul to take. That's not prayer life. That's prayer life for a two-year-old. It's not prayer life for a seasoned Christian. So if you know that you know that you know Christ, no matter where you are, you can stand for him. You got to get in him to have him in your life to make a relationship with him. And in that relationship, you can move forward. And listen, here's what I've discovered. People come to me and they say, oh man, I love the Bible. I love what the Bible says I am. And you look at them and you look at their life a little while and they look like nothing like what the Bible says they should be. I got good news for you. Once you make a resolution from down deep inside your heart spiritually, you say, God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to depend on you. You lead me. You guide me. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to put my faith in you. I'm going to look to you for everything that I need and everything that I get. And you realize that Satan's going to set a trap for you, and you're going to have to do everything you can to dodge that trap. You're going to have to understand that Satan is going to try his very best to do that. And so you know that going in. And you know that he'll come at you ruthlessly to try to foul you up. And you know that in order to really stand strong, you got to be in a constant relationship with God. Then you can claim scripture like Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. See, if you're not in a constant relationship with the Lord, that's not necessarily true. Oh, what do you mean by that? I mean, there are different levels. People say, you think there's a different level of sin? No, I think there's different levels of relationship with God. And some have a better relationship because you have that better relationship, because of prayer, because of Bible study, because of being involved, because you have that better relationship, you're more quick to grab that weapon. I have a license to carry a pistol. It's not in my pocket now. If it was, I'd use it in the invitation. That's as far as I'm going to go with that. I have a license to carry a pistol, and I'll be honest with you. I hope anybody in here planning on robbing me. If you do, you're going to be real sad. You ain't going to get much. I do have a $100 bill folded up in my wallet, I think. But when I go to Houston, I carry it with me. Got it laying right there in the console of my truck. Not inside the console, laying right there for everybody to see. I carry with me because I feel like when I go there, I'm in the midst of a lot of trouble, and I just want to be sure that I'm protected. The day is going to come, I'm afraid, that something will happen here. Not necessarily here at the church, but we got a safety team that's out there working right now. But something's going to happen here, and I'm going to have my weapon. Something's going to happen at the Huntsville Hospital, or something's going to happen somewhere here in town. Well, let me tell you something. When you know that you know Christ, whatever trap Satan throws at you, you got him. You don't have to run back and get him. You don't have to try to put a shell in the chamber. You know he's there. And you can trust him. The foolishness of the world is to say, well, Satan's not going to throw any fiery darts at me. Yes, he will. And I'm going to challenge you, don't ever fall into his trap. Just a parenthetical word of advice, if I can. If you resolve not to fall into the devil's traps, say that with me. I resolve not to fall into the devil's traps. Then stay off the slippery slope. Enough said. Stay away. Sir, if your computer's a problem, don't get on it. It's quiet here. If alcohol's a problem, don't sit in the bar. There's a particular restaurant here in town. I don't know if my wife and I just look like we need to drink. But we go in the door of this restaurant, and I'll say to her, or she'll say to me, I bet you they try to set us in the bar. Every time we go. And it's our great joy to say, we don't want to sit in the bar, we want to sit over here. So why do you do that? Do you drink? No, I hadn't had a drink in 50 years. Wouldn't take much to really mess me up. I don't drink. I don't smoke. Used to do all that. Gave it away a long time ago. And every day of my life, I want you to understand, Satan tries to throw a trap at me. Every day of my life. But the joy of that is knowing I'm in relationship with the Lord and knowing that I can just reach for him and he's there. If you resolve not to fall in the devil's trap, stay out of the minefield. We go to Israel, we go up in the northern part of the country, and we go to the city of Dan, where that tribe separated, went up north, and it's an amazing place they built there. But on the way, it's kind of harrowing. It's kind of hairy is what it is. You're driving along, you see signs on the fence that say, do not cross, do not enter minefield. So if you know the minefield's there, how foolish would it be to go into that? So if you resolve in your heart, I'm not, I am, then stay away from those things that might drag you down. Stay away from those things that might be a trap that Satan would throw at your feet. Next. For a resolution to be made and kept, you will need courage. You will need to be courageous to do so, especially in the area of spiritual resolutions. There is a lion inside of you. Let him roar. Let him roar. Take a look at what Daniel did. In the face of offered compromise, here's the king's food, enjoy. He had determined to resist the king's food. From his heart had resolved he would not do that. He didn't jump up and down, close his mouth with intended lockjaw and say, you're just not going to put that in my mouth. You ever tried to feed a baby spinach? If you ever try to feed me artichokes, I've always stuck with what they said on our gang. It might choke Artie, but it won't choke me. Can you imagine that if Daniel would just held his mouth shut and said, I'm not doing that? Or what if he had just held his breath till he turned red and then blew and then fell out because he didn't want to do what was thrown before him? Here's what he did. Now I want you to hear this. He very respectfully requested an alternative. See, my wife and I go in that particular restaurant. We don't just go in there and say, look here, don't you set us in that bar. We don't want to set that bar. You understand? We're Christians. We just say, hey, we don't want to set in there. I'm longing for that. They say, why? Now they've opened the door. You got a lion in your heart, let it roar. But there's times that lion needs just a subtle growl. My son and I, handful of us went to South Africa on default. We were going to Argentina and we couldn't go because of COVID, so we went to South Africa. We went with the explicit purpose of releasing to glory as many dove and duck as we could. While we were down there, we decided that we would go to a lion and rhinoceros habitat. What that means, they had a 4,000 acre place that lions and rhinoceros just wandered freely. It was crazy to drive down this road and all of a sudden there's seven rhinoceros crossing in front of you, not in the zoo. So I want you to imagine for a second, we're in one of those English-looking buses, you know, except this bus didn't have any seats on the bottom, it just had seats on top. Open air. We're driving down through there, and the guy just stopped, turned the engine off. And he stands up and comes back there where all of us are sitting, and he says, would you look right up there past that rock over here on this ridge? And we're all looking. He said, you see a little lion? He didn't roar. I mean, he didn't roar and let us all know he was there. He kind of had a little old low growl about him. So we'd know that he was a lion. Sometimes we just need to have a low growl. We don't need to jump out of the gas pump, grab old boy by the neck and choke him down and say, I'm not going to turn you loose till you know Jesus. You ever tried that? Don't do that. You're going to get hurt is what's going to happen. You'll jump out and grab some old redneck and cut you before you can turn him loose. Sometimes you just need to let that soul roar out. And when you open the door, let it roar. Let it roar loud. Spiritual courage doesn't demand, it demonstrates. Spiritual courage doesn't say, I'm going to win you to the Lord or else. Somebody said the other day, why are you get so loud? I have to take my earbuds out because you hear better that way. It doesn't mean that you got to demand anything. It means you demonstrate Jesus in your life. Daniel had a resolve in his heart to guide his conversation. I want you to understand that I believe courage does not have to be arrogant. It doesn't have to be demanding. I think a resolution to serve the Lord doesn't have to be arrogant, doesn't have to be demanding. Spiritual courage doesn't demand anything. It just demonstrates Christ. Let the world see Jesus in you. Last thing. Let me just say one more thing about that. Spiritual courage to stand and be counted for the kingdom is like the old adage that I've heard all my life and I've used a lot of times. You can catch more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. Let them see Jesus in you. And when properly displayed, when you let the world see Jesus in you, it's kind of sweet and sticky. People want to know about that. They want to know how you can be happy even in the face of disaster. They want to know how you can have a smile on your face even when disaster comes. And it comes because you've got the sweet, sticky of Jesus in your life. You can catch more flies that way. Be courageous. God got you, and God is for you. One last thing. For a resolution to be made and kept, you will need godly fellowship. Now, here's where fellowship with other believers comes into play. Here's where church matters. I hear people say all the time, I can be a Christian and not go to church. That's true. You can know Christ and not go to church. But if you come to church, you get sharp. You get sharpened. You have the fellowship of other believers. Daniel, if you think back to the story, church matters in your relationship to God. Church matters in spiritual resolve particularly. And I want you to think about Daniel. Daniel stood for God, but didn't stand alone. See, the Bible tells us that his partners, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fellow Jews who got whisked away with him from Jerusalem to Babylon, when Nebuchadnezzar came in and invaded, they got carried away, those Jewish boys, carried into a land that they'd never been in where God was not worshiped. But these men that knew God stood together. They stood together. Poncho Roberts used to say, togetherness, I knew he was still alive. Togetherness one more time. I want you to know that a matter of spiritual resolution, your relationship with Christ matters, but I want you to understand how important it is that you have regular fellowship with others who believe like you. I'm strengthened by you. Daniel sought those companions to pray and to seek God with him. Especially later on, he comes to a place where he's got to interpret some dreams. And he doesn't stand by himself when he does that. When Daniel was promoted to the king's affairs, you can read the scripture yourself, he asked the king, can I bring somebody along with me? And that's where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego entered the picture. And those men stood together. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the ones that Daniel promoted, they stood together. The day came when Nebuchadnezzar got all puffed up about himself. You remember the story? Mama told you as you were going to bed, you couldn't go to sleep thinking about that fire. They put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a fiery furnace. And old non-believing, non-caring Nebuchadnezzar goes up and peeps in the hole. Now, the fire was so hot, remember, that those who carried Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego up there and throw them in the fire died themselves. That's how hot it was. They shut the door and put them in there. Somehow or another, I guess the flames died down. I think what happened is God said, I'm going to let this old boy look in there. Nebuchadnezzar made his way to that looking glass. And he looked in and he proclaimed, didn't we put three in there? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those are three boys that stood together. Outside, they stood for God. There they were standing in the midst of that fire. And look, you can read it any way you want to read it, but Daniel says that Nebuchadnezzar looked in and he said, and one, there's four in there now, I see them, and one looks like the Son of God. He said, well, it was an angel. I don't care. I think it was the Son of God. And Nebuchadnezzar looked and he saw that. And listen, those guys standing together got them in the furnace, but those guys standing together got thrown in the furnace, but they stood in the furnace together. Togetherness matters. Having the strength of other believers matters. This little quartet of Jewish boys refused to worship any other god. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to worship any god other than God in heaven. The king called Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, and they refused to fall down and worship. Got them in all kinds of trouble, got them thrown into the fiery furnace. But listen, their camaraderie stood the test of time and stood the trials that come with it. When the king looked into the fiery furnace and saw that fourth man, he said, look, I see one looks like the Son of God. Then Daniel would face a lion's den, and the angel of God would close their mouths. We usually have that prayer and testimony at budget time. Lord, close their mouths. We close the mouths of the lions in the den. Daniel did because he asked God to. Daniel would be given knowledge, and the end of time would be given to him, and he would make prophecies that we still study over today and try to figure out all the things that Daniel was privy to, because he was willing to be resolved in his heart to stand for God. These men always stood together. Together they were able to keep their resolve. And if you and I are going to make a spiritual resolution and keep it, you'll find that task is so much easier when you stand with others like you who have faith in Jesus Christ. So as we move from 2025, I was born in 1955, I remember as a kid thinking about 2000. What will that look like? Now, here we are leaving 2025 and heading into 2026. I'll be riding 25 for the next 6 months, but we're moving into a new year. So as we move to that new year, and New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, we decide in our heart to make resolutions. Let these points guide you. For a resolution to be made and kept, it's got to be founded in your heart. If you decide you're going to serve God more this year than you ever have before, that's got to come from down deep inside your heart, where you know that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. For a resolution to be made and kept, you don't fall in the devil's trap. The best way to do that is avoid them. If you go where there's a trap, you're probably going to get caught. You'll need courage. You'll need to be courageous. You'll need godly fellowship. You put those four things in your heart and in your mind, and purpose in your heart to resolve for God. And I'll guarantee you, you don't give me any guarantees. This is not a money back deal. But I guarantee you, if you put your faith and confidence in God, you make a resolution to serve Him even more. Let these four things I've mentioned to you this morning guide you at this time next year. You'll look back at 26 and go, man, what a difference God made in my life. Father, I love you and I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be your preacher. I thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for people that are here today to be a part of this service. And Father, I know that your Holy Spirit has spoken to the hearts of men and women in this place. And God, as you have spoken, I know that decisions ought to be made, should be made. And so, Lord, I pray for those who ought to make decisions that you've spoken to, that God, today they would make that decision to honor you, not to honor the church, not to honor me and the message, Lord, to honor you. Those, God, in this place that would be lost and without Jesus and need a relationship, I pray today, God, they would come to know Christ as their Savior. Those, God, in this place that perhaps want to come and be a part of this church because you've led them to do that, maybe want to make an arrangement to follow in believer's baptism, God, would you move in their hearts? And Lord, maybe those who just need to come to this altar, spend some time before you. Maybe leave something here, God. Maybe take something back. Father, as we resolve in our hearts to do better for you in the coming year. May we resolve him down deep inside our soul. Come, Lord Jesus. In that name above every name, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Would you stand with me? As we stand together, me and the staff are here. You come pray with us. Come pray in these altars. Come make those decisions that God's leading you to make.